debate between Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya and the 70 wise men of Athens. One of the debates was, Hai gavra de'ozil boi itza, a man who goes to search for a wife, v'loi koyohovile, and he's not successful in getting a wife of a certain level, a certain level of chashivus. My chozi de'ozil hecho de'midli mina. What excuse could he possibly have for going to search even on a higher level? If he's rejected by somebody of a certain level, why would he go attempt to get a wife on a higher level? So the Gemara says, Shokal Sikhsa, this is the question that they asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Shokal Sikhsa, he took a nail or a spike, Dotso Lesato, and he attempted to push it into the wall, to knock it into the wall below, on a low level, loyol, where there was no hole in the wall there for the spike to go in, so it couldn't go in. Doli dotsolielo, then he took that spike and lifted it up on a higher place on the wall, ol, and the spike was able to go into the wall. Obviously, on that upper place, there was a hole prepared for it. Omar, so he said to them, Hainami misramile basmazle. This man also, the fact that he's rejected on one level is simply because she's not there. And the fact that he goes to, it doesn't prove that he can't look on a higher level. When he looks on the higher level and he finds the one that's destined for him, the match fits and works, even though it's on a higher level than the one that he was rejected by before. This is the discussion that takes place in the Gemara. Rabbi Nazar is going to give a whole very involved, deep shir. And as part of this shir, he's going to explain this Gemara. We'll take a look in the Rashi for a moment on the left, on the Gemara. Demidli mino, shemiyucheses meirishoina. Why would he go to search for a wife that's even more meyuchas, more special than the first one? They asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, this person should have understood that if he was rejected by the one on a lower level, how does he make an attempt to get one on a higher level? Sichsa kabila. Sichsa means a type of nail or a spike. Dotso, hishpil yodoi, b'mokoyim she'ein chor bakoysel. He lowered his hand to a place in the wall where there was no hole there. Venetzo b'mokoyim nekev, I'm sorry, v'loyol. And the spike would not go in there. Then doli dotso, higbia yodoi, he lifted his hand up. Venetzo b'mokoyim nekev, and he stuck the spike into the wall in a place where there was a hole, v'ol. And the spike was able to go into the wall. Now Rabbi Nazal begins. Hai gavra dozel boi itza v'loy koyhovile v'chuli. Rabbi Nazal says in paragraph Aleph, Kiloi kol dibur nikra dibur. Not every type of speech is considered to be speech, is considered valid. Ki dibur she'enoi nishma v'niskabel enoi nikra dibur. Because if a person speaks and their words are not accepted, then that speech is not classified as speech. It's nothing. It didn't accomplish its purpose. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Ein Oimer ve'ein Dvorim Beli Nishma Koilam. Without having their koil, Nishma, accepted, then Ein Oimer ve'ein Dvorim. Their words are not considered Amira, and it's not considered Dibur. When a person speaks, and the words are not acceptable on the other side, then that's not considered Dibur. The Iker Mashen Iskabel Hadibur Hu Machmas Hatoiv Sheyeshboi. And when we see that a dibur is accepted, it's only based on the good that's found in that dibur. Ki toiv hakoil chafetzim. Because good is something that everybody desires. V'alkein, and therefore, kishayesh toiv b'hadibur, when there is good in the dibur, azai hadibur nishma v'niskabel, then the words are listened to and accepted. The ones that hear it, number one, it enters inside of them, And niskabel means also that it's accepted, it remains there. It remains effective. We mentioned this way back in Torah Hei, Likutei Moran, Chelek Aleph, where Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, Kol mi sheyesh bo yirath shamayim, dvorav nishmoim. That a person who has true fear of Hashem, his words are nishmoim. The word nishmoim means, number one, that the words go inside the ears. They enter inside the person, because very often people have their ears stuffed or their hearts stuffed to such an extent where no matter what word you're speaking, powerful words or sweet words and beautiful words, there's no place, there's no way for it to go inside. There's no keli. That's problem number one. Problem number two is there are times where already you get past that stage where the words do go inside, but the receptacle has a hole in it, in a sense. So that even though the words enter, they last for a few minutes, a few seconds. A person has a listens to a shiur, and they're inspired by it while they're listening to it. Then they go home, and 15 minutes later, it dries up. It seems that it's lost most or all of its effectiveness. And Rabbeinu Zal explained over there that if a person zeichet the true yira shemayim, dvorov nishmoim means both. That number one, the words will enter. The words are like thunder that goes crashing inside the heart. And number two, nishmoim also means it'll be retained. It won't lose its effectiveness, but it'll remain very much alive inside those that received it for a long time. Here Rabbeinu Zal says a different nekuda. Rabbeinu Zal says that in order for dibur to be accepted, it has to have toiv. And when there's no toiv in a dibur, it's not accepted. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ve'eich oisin ha-toiv b'hadibur." How does a person put toiv into their words? Hu'al yedei she'loikhin hadibur me'hadas. Azai yesh boi toiv. The only way to do that is if the words come from the brain. If the words come from sechel, then the words have good in them. Aval kishahadibur b'loidas. Whereas when a person speaks without really thinking through well what they're saying, azai ein boi toiv, then their words are lacking in toiv. Bibichinas, as the pasuk says in Mishle, gam b'loy das nefesh loy toiv. Without das, there is no toiv in the nefesh. What is nefesh? Rabbeinu Zal says, nefesh hu adibur. Nefesh refers to the speech of a person. K'moy shekosuv, as the pasuk says, vayhi odom lenefesh chayo. Odom was a living organism. Nefesh chaya means a living organism, and the Targum says leruach mamalalo, a being that speaks. We know that the distinction between Adam and Behemo is that Adam is called medaber. So when the Torah talks about nefesh chaya, about Adam coming to life, it refers to his koyach hadibur. That's what classifies him as Adam, different from Behemo. And again, that's based on the toiv, the degree of sechel that's found in the dibur. That's the degree of toiv that's in the dibur, and it's to that extent that the dibur is well received on the other side. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, paragraph Beis, ula hokim ula roime mesadas. Obviously, when it comes to this das, there are different levels. There are different levels, number one, in das itself, and there are different levels of the brain being awake or asleep. We know that there's a concept of a person's brain being asleep in terms of how much thought they put into their actions. Very often a person does something which they didn't think through well, and when they're challenged about it, the person says, my mind was asleep at the time, meaning I didn't think it through well. So obviously, if we think of the brain in terms of a battery that gives life to the engine, to the motor, which is the mouth, to the degree that that battery is well charged, that's the degree that it's able to put toiv into the dibur. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to say how a person charges up that battery. How does a person liven up the brain? Ula hokim ula roime mesadas. If a person wants to establish and elevate, turn on and really heighten the das, the sechel, hu'al yedei shevach hatzadikim. The way that it's done is by praising tzadikim. When a person praises and speaks about the greatness of tzaddikim, that's what elevates the person's sechel. It awakens and turns up the volume, the power, the strength of the person's brain, which automatically makes it that that person's diburim, the person's koyach hadibur, if it's plugged into the brain, is going to be much more effective. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, kenesher yo'ir kinoi, as an eagle takes care of its nest. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain this pasuk based on the Tikkuni Zohar. It's a little bit deep. We'll take each word one at a time. The Tikkuni Zohar says, nishra darucha, that the nesher, the eagle, its strength is based on the winds. It flies very high, and what gives it its height is the ruach. So the nesher represents ruach. Do bechinas tzaddik, that's symbolic of the tzaddik. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, ish asher ruach boi, that the tzaddik is a person who has ruach in him, who has true spirit in him. So we see that the Zohar HaKadosh compares the nesher to ruach, and the Chumash compares the tzaddik to ruach. So the nesher refers to the tzaddik. Do bechinas tzaddik. Yoir kinoi shehu mo'erer hamoichen mitirdemoson. The tzaddik, the act of praising the tzaddik is what wakes up a person's brain from its sleep. Mibechinas moichen dekatnus. When a person's brain is not functioning full, the person's brain is called at that time moichen dekatnus. The person's in a constricted frame of mind. Whereas when the brain is really active and flowing, then it's called moichen degadlus. The brain is really turned on well.
Here in Israel they call it Rosh Katan.
Rosh Katan, another term for it. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, Mibechinas Shena, which means awakening the brain from its sleep. Kinoi, the word kinoi, which in Hebrew means the nest in which the eagle has its young, the word kinoi also refers to the brain of a person. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Do knei chochma, knei bina. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, acquire chochma, acquire bina. So we see that this word kone, which is also referring to a nest, represents, it's associated with chochma and bina. It's associated with seichel. Sheheim hamoichin, chochma and bina represent the seichel of the person. So now Rabbeinu Zal explains this pasuk based on the Zohar HaKadosh. Kenesher, to the degree that the person praises the nesher, the tzaddik, yo'ir, the person awakens, ma'orer, kinoi refers to knei chochma, knei bina. The person awakens his moichin. To the degree that a person is mishabeach tzaddikim, that's what really turns on the person's brain. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, you should know that not only does this apply to humans, but it applies to malachim, to angels also. V'afilu malachim, even angels, kisheroitzim lasoiz dibur, sheyihiyah nishma v'niskabel etzlom. When angels want to produce words that will be well received among them, among the angels, bebechinas oisei devoroi, lishmoya bekol devoroi, just as the pasuk says about the malachim, that they produce words, oisei devoroi, lishmoya bekol devoroi, for the purpose that those words should be well heard, well received. How is that done? Azai heim mishabchim umefuarim es Hashem Yisborach tchila. In order for them to produce words that'll be well received, the first thing they do is they praise the tzaddik. Who is their tzaddik? Hashem. They praise Hashem. Shehu tzaddikoi sheloilam. Kaviyochol, Hashem is called the tzaddik of the world. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, tzaddik Hashem b'chol derochov. Hashem is righteous in all of his ways. So we see that Hashem is also called a tzaddik. So praising Hashem is similar to praising the tzaddik. It brings about the same results. That's how the angels produce words that are well received, that are accepted. And this is how, now we can understand the flow of the entire pasuk. Watch what the pasuk says. Borchu Hashem malachov. Praise Hashem, angels. The angels praise Hashem or bless Hashem. It's the same thing. Hainu Hashevach Shemeshabchin Tchilas Hashem Yisborach Shehu Tzadikoi Sheloilam. This refers to the fact that they praise Hashem first, who is the tzaddik of the world. V'yachakach, and only after that, Al Yidezeh, the pasuk continues, Oisei Devoroi Lishmoya Bekoil Devoroi. They produce words which are listened to, which are well accepted. That's what gives the malachim the ability to produce words that are well received, well accepted.
It implies that even the malachim require require, have to come on to an increase of their das?
Yes. In other words, malachim are also living beings which in some ways resemble humans. In some ways they resemble the Yidden. The Yidden praise Hashem, the malachim praise Hashem. And by malachim also there's a concept of dibur. The dibur of a malach speaking. We find many places in the Torah. Rabbeinu Zal says, just like by a Yid, to the degree that a person wants his words to be effective, the words have to have toiv in them, which means they have to have das in them, which means the brain has to be very much awake and charged. And Rabbeinu Zal says, one of the best ways to charge the brain is by praising tzaddikim. So too malachim, who want their words to be well received, it has to have das, which requires, it has to have toiv, which is das, which requires praising the tzaddik. Their tzaddik is kavyochel Hashem.
We see this relationship, so the nesher is the person of the tzaddik. But why is Bedavka this particular relationship with the tzaddik?
Praising the tzaddik? Yeah. That's not literally found in the pasuk. In other words, we don't see it on the surface here. Could be there's other additional proof for that. But Rabbeinu Zal is bringing the remez of the kesher between the tzaddik awakening the brain. See, look at the yisoid ad abavimo. There's another expression in Zohar Kodesh that the effects of the yisoid, which is the tzaddik, reach up to abo and imo, chokhma and bina, which refers to the brain. There are many different instances where there's a connection between bris and the mechim. Here's a case where Rabbeinu Zal says that the act of praising the tzaddik is what turns on the mechim. Now, this shir was given by Rabbeinu Zal on Shavuos 5 years before he passed away, which means Rabbeinu Zal was 33 years old at the time. That was the first time that Rabbeinu Zal put on begodim levenim, white clothes. It's brought from the Arizal that tzaddikim, great tzaddikim, sometimes wear begodim levenim on Shabbos or at certain special times. This yontif, specifically that Shavuos, Rabbeinu Zal put on begodim levenim. And as was often the case, when he spoke divrei Torah, in the Torah was included many of the current events, many of the things that were taking place at that time. There was also another instance. Rabbeinu Zal, in this chapter on Likutei Moran, is going to discuss the sickness called epilepsy, Choli Noifel. That Shavuos, one of Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim brought to him his daughter who had this sickness, Choli Noifel. And Rabbeinu Zal, in this shir, explained how that illness comes about, what causes it. And obviously, by speaking Divrei Torah about it, he was hoping to be Mamshechei Tikkun for that illness. And we're going to see other things related to this shir. Now Rabbeinu Zal says that this concept of being mesakin one's dibur is also tied into the purity of the clothes of the person. Because dibur is malchus. We've spoken about this many times. The peh. Each one of the midos of Hashem corresponds to different parts of the body. There's a paragraph called Posach Eliyahu in the Tikkuni Zohar, where the Zohar Kodesh explains how the spheroids correspond to the different parts of the human anatomy, the human body. And there it talks about Malchus Peh, that the mouth corresponds to the Malchus. Just as the mouth, the Koyach HaDibur is Malchus, the Gemara says, Dabor Echod Ladoir, one ruler to a generation. A ruler is called a Dabor, a speaker, because a king shows his authority with his words. Accepting his words means accepting his authority upon yourself. So too, the Begodim of a person also represent the malchus, the kovoid of the person, the respectability of a person is their clothing. Rabbeinu Zal is going to quote a Gemara where the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan kori le lamane mechabdusa. Rabbi Yochanan called his clothing his kovoid, which means his malchus. So now Rabbeinu Zal is going to make the connection between dibur, perfecting one's diburim, and perfecting one's clothing. Note that we're coming now to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where there is a minig Yisroel. The Jews have a custom that, for example, in some shuls, everybody, in some shuls, it's only the chazan, on Rosh Hashanah wears a kittel. And on Yom Kippur also, we wear begodim levenim. We wear specifically white clothing, this white kittel that's worn, or the white clothing that's worn even by the women, to represent an additional purity. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to talk about this. This is the concept of white clothing. It corresponds to the concept of perfecting one's speech, which is the union of Malchus. That's also this concept of white clothing. Now Rabbeinu Zal begins. A Jew has to be very particular and very careful to watch their clothing, not to show disrespect to clothing. Just as there's a chapter in Shulchan Aruch that deals with the laws of Bizui Oichlin, not showing disrespect to food. You're not allowed to throw food or certain other things, certain other halachas, in terms of respect for food. So too, part of being a religious Jew means keeping one's clothing neat, as we're going to see. Rak l'shomron koroi, a Jew is obligated to watch their clothing, shelo yovoy aleihem shum kesem or revav, that the clothing should not have any type of stain. Revav means a fattiness, a shumon, a stain of fat. V'chol mi shehu godol yoyser, tzorech lishmor esa begodim yoyser. And according to what level a person is on, in terms of religion, a more religious person has to be more particular about the neatness of their clothing. Ki kol mi shehu godol yoyser, because whoever is more important, medaktikim imoyim yoyser, Hashem is more particular about that person. Hashem watches that person more carefully. V'alkein, and therefore, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Talmud Chochem shenim tzeravav al begotov chayev misa. A Talmud Chochem who has a certain type of stain on his clothing gets a death penalty for it. Because he's a Talmud Chochem, we require from him a greater degree of respectability in terms of watching his clothing. Rabbe ki imoy medaktikim yoyser, because with him, Hashem is more particular. Because the clothing themselves judge the person. The clothes sits in judgment on the person. Rabbi Nizal explains, dino de malchusa dino. Who judges? The government, the authority judges. Malchus judges. And clothing is called malchus, as we'll see. Ki habegodim heim bechinas malchus. Begodim, clothing, represent malchus. Ki Rabbi Yochanan korei lemanei mechabdusa. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan called his clothing his respect, his kovoid. Sheze bechinas malchus. Kovoid is synonymous with malchus, authority, kingdom. Bechinas melech hakovoid. As the Pasuk in Tehillim puts both of them together. The king who is respected, melech hakovoid. Baruch Shem kevoid malchusai li'olam voed. So we see that kovoid is synonymous with malchus. Vehem bechinas tzedek. Clothing is a concept of tzedek, malchuso kadisha, which is one of the names of the malchus, the kingdom. Sheze bechinas habegodim, that's the concept of clothing. Bechinas tzedek lavoshti, as the pasuk says, I cloak myself with righteousness, tzedek, righteousness, or justice. So we see that tzedek, which is malchus, is also the lavush. Vamevaze oisom, I believe it's the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, which the Sifrei Kabbalah say that sentence is called Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemayim. That's where a person declares the kingdom of Hashem. The first letters of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod are Begimatria Lovesh. Hashem Moloch Geus Lovesh. Hashem Moloch Geus Lovesh. King is the Lavush. The king is the royal robes, the crown and the robes. That's what we crown him as king. His clothing is what gives him his kingliness, the geus. So the word lovesh is the Rosh Tevis of that sentence, showing that lavush refers to malchus. By Mordechai it says, Mordechai yotzam lefnei ha-melech, bilavush malchus tcheles vachur. Right there you have it in the pasuk, bilavush malchus. So Rabbi Nizal says, Vamevazo is someone, a person who insults their clothing, a person who doesn't show the proper respect for clothing, Nimtzo shehu kemoireid bemalchus. It's as if he's rebelling against the king. He's showing disrespect to the king. Va'oz dina de malchusa donoisoi. And then the king judges him. The clothing itself judges the person. And when a Jew has this dirty clothing, in a sense, this causes a separation between Hashem and the Shechina, Kaviyochol, the heavenly husband and wife. Bebechinas, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, Nochosh Moshichlo Legabo, V'atel Bo Zuamo, that when the Jews commit sins, the nochosh, the snake, which is the symbol of the Soton, the Malach HaMoves, the Etzahara, he draws himself close to the Shechina, and he injects into the Shechina a zuama, a filth, that causes the Shechina, kaviyochol, to become impure, and to be forced to be separated from Kuchibrichu, from Hashem. Just as when the Jews commit sins, the Jewish nation becomes separated from Hashem, they cause a pirud between themselves and Hashem, so too the Shechina is symbolic of the Am Yisrael. The Shechina also, it's Imoy Anoichi Betzaref, the Jews are separated from Hashem, Kavyochol, the Shechina, is separated from Hashem. Like the Moshe that the Medrash gives, that when the king gets angry at his son, the prince, and he wants to throw the son out of the palace, he throws the mother, he throws the queen out, he sends the queen away also. He sends the queen away also, so that he shouldn't forget his son. The fact that a person is so closely attached to his wife, to the queen, the king is so closely attached to the queen, by sending her away with her son, it ensures that he won't forget at all that the son is exiled. So too, this symbolism of the Jewish people and the Shechina. When we talk about the Jews being distanced from Hashem, automatically that also means kavyochol, the Shechina becomes distanced from Hashem. So the Zohar HaKadosh uses this expression that the Nochosh injects a zuama, a filth, a tumah, bechinas dam nida. This is the concept of the blood of nida, impure blood. Bebechinas madua odoim lelvushayich. The pasuk says, Hashem says to the Jewish people, why is your clothing red? This concept of this red, referring to dam nida, an impure type of stain that shows itself on the clothing. So that when a person is not careful about the clothing, and the clothing is dirtied, it means this concept of this impurity, this dam nida, which causes separation between the Baal and the Isha, kavyochol between Hashem and the Shechina, or Hashem and the Jewish people. This is the concept of the stain that's found on the person's clothing. That the stain on a Jew's clothing causes a pirud, a separation between the kingdom, which is the Shechina, and Hashem, kavyochol. Again, the word Malchus is one of the nicknames for the Shechina, Knesset Yisrael. The Oz, and when that happens, when there is this separation between Hashem and the Shechina, what happens? Hashem gets very angry. Kavyochol, Hashem roars about this like a lion. The Pasuk says, Aryeh Shoag, kavyochol. There is this concept of Hashem, the Hashem who is a king, roaring over this problem. The Gemara, Rabbi Nezal says, "Va'oz shoig yishag al novehu." The pasuk says, "Hashem screams about his beauty," meaning al nove delay over his wife kavyochol. His beauty refers to his shechina, which has become separated from him. Now, when the shechina is sent into exile, just as by Avram Avinu had a wife called Sarah. And he had a maidservant called Hagar. And it seems as if these two were on opposite ends of the seesaw. When Sarah was strong, Hagar was in her place. She was subdued. She knew her place. When Sarah became weak, because of the fact that Sarah couldn't have children, in a sense, she felt inadequate. She felt a chesaron by her. That gave Hagar the strength to move in and replace her in a sense. This is the concept of the pasuk which Rabbein Azal quotes now, Va'oz shoiletes shivcha bisha, and then when the Shechina goes down, when the Shechina gets separated from Hashem, kavyochol Hashem's wife, the Jewish people become separated from Hashem, who moves in to take their place? The shivcha bisha, the evil maidservant. Shehi malchus the sitrachra. She represents the kingdom of Tumah, Yishmoel, which is another kingdom. Esav, Yishmoel, they represent the kingdom of the Goyim, the kingdom of the Sitrachra, which is the opposing force to the Malchus Dikdusha, which is the Bnei Yisrael, or the Shechina. Kavyochol, the Shechina is called the wife of Hashem, the Isha. When the Shechina is rejected, then there's a concept of Shivcha Kisirash Givirta, where the maidservant takes over, takes the place of her boss. In other words, the original wife of the king. So Rabbein Azal says, Bibichinas, as the Pasuk says, Shivcha kisirash givirta, Shehi ishara, Shehi bechinas esra. This Shivcha, which is the nickname of the Malchus of the Sitrachra, the Malchus of Tumah, she moves in, she fills that vacuum. When the queen of Kedusha, when the Malchus of Kedusha, the Jewish people are moved out, when they separate from Hashem, as a result of this dam nida, as a result of tumah, their sins, the stained clothing, which represents the sins of the Jewish people, when that happens, automatically the other side moves in to replace them. Rabbein Azal says, that shivcha is called Isha Ra, the bad woman. Shehi Bechinas Esra, which is also the concept of bad times. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki yesh chofches itim, because there are 28 different times. Itim letoiva, itim lera, times that are good times, times that are bad times. Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles talks about eis le'ehoiv, eis lisnoi, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for joy, a time for sorrow, all the different, the whole breakdown of 14 good times and 14 bad times. The concept of time is a concept of malchus. We've spoken about this before. Time is an inyan of tzimtzum. Time is something that has, it's a boundary. It's a boundary that, in other words, a day is a restriction, a tzimtzum of time. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Tiferes refers to the Vav of Yudke Vavke, the Vav of Hashem's name. It refers to Ze'er Anpin. That becomes, its wife is the Malchus. Whenever we talk about Kavyochel Hashem and the Shekhinah being united, another way of saying that is called the Yichud of Tiferes and Malchus. Tiferes is Tav Pei Aleph Reish Tav. Malchus is one step below it in this sense. When we talk about this, Malchus is Tav Reish Pei, which is the Jewish unit of time. If you recall, when we do Kiddush HaChodesh, we declare the Jewish hour is not divided up into 3,600 seconds, but rather it's divided into Tatraf Chalokim, 1,080 parts. Each part is 3 1/3 seconds. It's called Tatraf Chalokim. The Zohar HaKadosh says that that Tatraf is one of the nicknames of the Malchus, again, because Tiferes is the Zohar. The Zohar is considered to be above the Nekeva. The Nekeva is one step below. If Tiferes is Zohar, then the Malchus is the Tatraf Chalokim, because time is one of the manifestations of Malchus. Malchus is always a Keli, a Tzimtzum. So too, time, this concept of Itim Letoivo, Itim Lero, is the concept of Malchus Digdusha versus Malchus of Sitrachra. Whenever we talk about the Jewish kings ruling for a certain unit of time versus the Malchus of the Sitrachra being in charge over a certain unit of time. So now Rabbi Nizal says, so again, when the Malchus Digdusha falls, then this Shifcha takes over, this Ishara, this Esra, bad times take over. When people say we're going through bad times, it means that the Malchus of the Sitrachra is in charge now. This Ishara is in position. V'tzorich lahachnia shivcha bisha shehu esra. And a Jew has to see to it to subdue and defeat this shivcha bisha, this bad maidservant, shehi esra, which represents these bad times. A Jew has to see to it to overcome, to crush the bad times. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, bechol eis yihyu begodecho leveinim. The pasuk says, at all times, your clothing should be clean. Your clothing should be white. Bechol eis. In other words, to see to it, to stretch the begodim leveinim, not just over the 14 good times, but to see to it that it should overpower the bad times also. Bechol eis daika. Note the emphasis that it should stretch over bechol eis. Bigodecho levenim, the clothing should be white. Hainu beloy revav. This means white represents cleanliness, no stains. Hainu bechinas taharas hashchina minidosa. This is the concept of purifying the shechina from its impurity. Bebechinas dam nekar venase cholov, which is the whole concept of purification, is where blood, red, is turned into cholov, white, milk. The whole concept of when a child is born, The fact that the mother's blood changes to milk represents the whole concept of tikkun, olam tikkun, where red is turned into white. Red is replaced with white. Midas hadin, red always symbolizes din, evil, is turned into white, which is purity, kindness. So this is a Jew's mission, to see to it, to keep their clothing clean, thereby giving strength to the Malchus Digdusha to rule and overpower and replace the Malchus of the Sitrachra. About to talk about it. What stains are we talking about? He's going into that right now. It's known throughout the Torah, throughout the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Sifrei Kabbalah, that when Rishoim commit sins, sins cause a separation between Hashem and the Shekhinah. Just as the Zohar Kodesh says that the word Nida is Nod Hey, that the letter Hey of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei. There's Yud, then K, then Vav, then K. The first three letters, Yud, K, Vav, represent Kuchibrichu, Kaviyochel, the heavenly male. The He at the end represents the Shechina, the Malchus, the female. When a Jew commits a sin, he causes Pirud, separation between Hashem and the Shechina, which means he causes the Shechina to get its period, in a sense, Kaviyochel. This Dam Nida, this Nod He, that the He is separated, Nod means to wander. It's forced to wander, separated from its original connection to Yud Kei Vav. When a Jew fixes a sin, fixing sins is called tshuva. Tshuva is toshuv hay, to return the hay back to its original place, which was attached to the Yud Kei Vav. So Rabbeinu Zal says now here that sins are what cause these stains. It's known that when Rishonim commits sins, that's what causes separation between Kodesh Baruch and the Shechina. Ki gormin lo dam nido. It's the sins that cause this dam nido kaviyochel by the Shechina. Va'oz hinekras ir hadomim. And then the Shechina is given the nickname City of Blood, ir hadomim. Instead of Yerushalayim being called the city ir David, the city of Malchus Digdusha, it's called City of Blood. The Shechina has this stain, these blood stains on it. Val Shem Ze, Rishoim, Nikroim, Anshe Domim. And this is one of the reasons why in the Torah, when it speaks about Rishoim, sometimes it gives them the nickname of bloody people. Anshe Domim, because they cause blood. They cause this blood by the Shechina. They cause these red stains. Kish, Rabbeinu Zal explains now. Kishisa loisase tluyim b'shisa gidim. Because the 365 mitzvos loisase in the Torah, where Hashem tells a Jew what you're not allowed to do, not supposed to do, there's exactly 365 such mitzvos corresponding to the 365 pipes in the body through which the blood flows. I believe this refers to tendons, Rabbi Zal used to say. I think he used the word tendons, 365 tendons. That the tendons are something through which this blood flows, gidin. Arteries? What, gid hanoshe, what's the English word for that?
It's a tendon.
It's a tendon. I believe the accurate word for it is tendon.
But the blood doesn't flow through the tendons. It flows inside of the tendons, but it flows through capillaries.
Not. Okay. In some respect, there is this kesher between the 365 loisase and the 365 gidin, which are associated with blood. The gidin, which are associated with blood. We have the medical experts on the other side of the fence that could say more about it, the biologists. Sheshom ta, Rabbeinu Zal uses the wording, sheshom tahaluchoi sadamim. That's where the blood flows. The blood flows through the gidin. When we use the term Rasha, in other words, it seems that Rabbeinu Zal is saying here that we measure a Rasha to the degree by how many loisases he violates. To the degree that a person is Mekayim Mitzvoisaseh, that's the degree that he's considered to be more of a tzaddik in a sense. You understand the positive side. The loisases, a person going against a direct command, don't do this, and a person does it, that's what puts him to a degree more so in the category of Rasha. We're not saying Chas V'Shalom that a person has a license not to do Mitzvoisaseh, but we're saying in terms of general terminology, breaking the one who goes against the loisases is in the category of this Rasha. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, ulefi bechinas loisaseh she'ivrim, to the degree that a Jew violates the mitzvos loisaseh, kein mo'irim dam nido la'ashchina, the person stirs up and activates this dam nido by the Shechina. Ki kamo minei damim yesh, because there are several different types of blood. So in other words, it's not that all blood is bad, it's this dam nido that's a problem. Certain blood stains are not considered to be impure. So therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says it's only when the dam is caused by the loisase, that kind of dam represents this dam nida, this impure blood. Rabbeinu Zal says, Bechein, therefore, tzorich lahamtik esadamim hoelu. A Jew has to see to it to sweeten this blood, to whiten this blood. Hainu lesakein halavin, which means to correct all the mitzvahs loisase that they violated. Shehem hagidin, which correspond to the gidin inside the body. Ulaham shichlohem lavnunis. And the person has to see to it to draw whiteness into these gidin, to replace the redness with whiteness. Bibichinas dam nekar v'nasecholov. As we said earlier, that when the blood is elevated, it gets turned into milk. The red is converted to whiteness, representing purification. Just as on Yom Kippur, one of the symbols, one of the proofs that the sins of the Jews was forgiven, was that they would hang up this strip of wool that was red. The symbol of the fact that Hashem forgave the sins of the Jews was when that red wool turned white. By miracle, they knew that their sins were absolved, that the redness was washed away. The loisa says, the shasa gidin were nistakin. Rabbi Nizal says now, v'zehu b'chol eis yihyu begodecho levenim. Now Rabbi Nizal gives another translation of that pasuk. When the pasuk says, at all times your clothing should be clean, the word begodecho means clothing. Rabbi Nizal says, begidecho. The word begodecho could also refer to the gidin inside the body, these tendons. Lahamshich lohem lavnunis, which means a Jew has to see to it to draw whiteness into those gidin, to clean out the impure redness, which is represented by the mitzvos loisase that the person violates, the 365 loisases, which corresponds to the 365 gidin, to see to it to draw purity, cleanliness into them. And that's associated with the begodim of the person, which show these stains. We know halacha, by noshim, the clothing, the stains found on the clothing, represents that. That's what shows the status of purity of or impurity of where the person is holding. Again, this is talking on both levels. Al pi pshat, al pi halacha, there is this concept of a Jew being required to keep their clothing clean, and also certainly on a much higher level, the levusha, the person, being based on the deeds of the person, the mitzvos or averos representing the clothing of the person. Now Rabbi Nizal makes a very, very important point. In this next paragraph, Rabbi Nizal is going to discuss the topic of tikkun abris relative to all other mitzvahs of the Torah, where this item stands with respect to all mitzvahs in the Torah. Paragraph Dalid, Ulesakin kol ha'averois beprotius. If a Jew would want to fix all of their averois in detail, heim rabim ma'oid. Unfortunately, very often there's a lot of them. There's a lot of different sins. The koved al ha'odom, and it's very difficult for a Jew who wants to go back and clean up a record of years of sins to go fix up 365 times 1,000, it's very complicated. Ve'ef sher l'sakin oisam, and it's impossible to fix all of them in that manner, trying to deal with them on individual levels. Ki yesh digdukim uprotim rabim b'chol lav olav, because it isn't even just 365. Each one of them has many different parts to it, many different aspects to it. So it branches out into millions of different aspects of sins. Bechein tzorich l'sakein klolius hagidim. Therefore, Rabbi Nizal says, what a person should do is to be mesakein, to fix on a general level, on an umbrella level, a high level, all the gidim. Shehu bechinas vayaged lochem es brisoi. That's the concept of tikkun abris, which is associated with vayaged, also miloshen gid, that the bris is also called a gid in the Gemara, and this gid represents the gid ha-koilel. This is koilel. If a person is able to be mesakin this item of tikkun abris, it serves as a tikkun for all 365 gidin. Ve'oz al yedei tikkun abris shehu klolius ha-gidin. Then, when a person, now this is based on the Zohar Kodesh. This isn't Rabbeinu Zal. That gimel over there points you to the Zohar Kodesh, where the Zohar Kodesh there speaks about Yosef HaTzadik. And the Zohar Kodesh says that this item of bris, all the other mitzvahs of the Torah are kolol in it. Because the word bris itself, beis reish yud tov, is bigimatria 612. With the koilel, with plus the word itself as one, the word bris is 613, showing that this one item is a koilel of all 613 mitzvahs. Certainly the 365 lavin. And if a Jew is able to fix that, automatically that fixes all other 364 items. Shehu bechinas vayage, just as we have one day of the year, Yom Kippur. We have one day of the year. The Gemara says, Numa, that the word Hasaton is Bigimatria 364, showing that this angel has power 364 days a year. There's one day that he's powerless. What day is that? Yuma. Yuma means the day. Masech the Yuma talks about Yom Kippur, D-Day. That one day of the year where the Satan is zero. Why is he zero? Because that's the day of Tikkun HaBris. Yom Kippur is the day on which Yitzchak Avinu had his Bris Milah. The first Jewish child, the first child to be born to Jewish religious observant parents, in a sense. Yitzchak Avinu, his Bris Milah was on Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, the whole Jewish nation takes on this extra level of Tikkun HaBris. We abstain completely from a connection between husband and wife. We put on the white kittel. All of these things representing the sinyan of Tikkun HaBris, that one which fixes all 365. That's the Vayaged Lochem Es Brisoi, the Bris which is Mesakein all the Gidin, that's the Kiddush of Yom Kippur. Now Rabbi Nezal says, Ve'oz al yedei Tikkun HaBris, Shehu Klolius HaGidin, Nistakein Memelo Kol Halavin She'ovar, Ve'nimshach Lohem Lavnunis. And then, when the Jew is zeichet to perfect what they need to perfect in this area of Tikkun HaBris, automatically, memelo, automatically, everything else falls into place. Everything else gets fixed, all the other lavin, and there's a whiteness that's spread out over all 365 tendons. Va'al shem ze nikre klolius hagidin shehu abris koidesh shakai. It's for this reason why the bris, which is the koilel of all 365 gidin, one of the nicknames of the bris is, it's called shakai, the name shakai. Why? Al shem sheshodi veyoyre kechetz. Shodi means to shoot. It shoots like an arrow. What does it shoot? It shoots lavnunis, whiteness, vetikunim, and corrections, lechol pratu prat kefit sorkoi. It shoots at each item that needs to be shot. In other words, in a sense, you picture the enemies of a person rising up against the person. You want to shoot them down. One pops up here, one sin pops up here. You want to be able to shoot them all down. The gun is the Bris Kodesh. It's called this arrow, Sheshodi Kechetz. It shoots like an arrow. It shoots tikunim into all places that tikunim need to be sent. Vafilu lemekoimois hatsorim vahadakim. Even in the narrowest places, the places where it's hard to get in there because it's narrow, even in those places, the Tikkun HaBris is able to shoot its tikunim into there. Rabbi Nezal explains, ki yesh mekoimois tzorim vedakim she'efshur lovoy loshom shum tikun kiim al yedei tikkun hakloli. Because there are certain narrow places, this is in a spiritual sense. Just as begashmius, sometimes a person wants to clean a house. There are certain areas in the house that are relatively easy to clean. You go in with a broom or a mop or a vacuum cleaner, and then there are certain nooks and crannies where the vacuum cleaner can't get in there, and it becomes much more difficult to be able to clean out the dirt from there. So too, beruchnius, there are certain areas where it's easy to clean, and certain areas where you have to be able to get into a very narrow place to clean. Rabbi Nezal says that it's only the Tikkun HaBris that has this power of shooting tikunim even into those narrowest of places. Gamla mekoimis hatsorim vadakim bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, vohoyo shakai bitzorecho, that shakai goes into the mokom tsar, the narrow place. Sheshodi veyoyre tikunim lechol mekoimis hatsorim. The ability, the power of Tikkun HaBris is that it has the ability to shoot cleanliness and tikunim even into the most difficult places to reach, where all other tikunim can't reach in there, and this item of Tikkun HaBris has an ability. It's like a powerful blast of water, in a sense, that goes in there and is able to reach the most hidden places and cleanse the dirt, the stains from there. Val shem ze nikra bris zoyar horakia. For this reason also, one of the nicknames of Bris in the Zohar HaKadosh, it's called Zohar HaRokia, the light of the sky, the shine of the sky. Rabbi Nezal says, Ki koidem atikun azai HaRokia hu bebechinas yigalu shamayim avoinoi. Because a Jew who has committed sins, before the sins have been fixed, the Pasuk says that the person's sins are revealed in the heavens. It's like they're written on sky writing. It's like the writing on the sky. The sky represents the parchment, the backdrop upon which the person's sins are revealed. Yigalu shamayim avoinoi. The shamayim reveals the person's sins. the acharat tikkun, and once a person has fixed and cleaned up all of their sins, azai mazhir umetahir sorokia, then he purifies and turns on the lights of the sky. Then the sky, the cloudiness in the sky represents the sins. Washing away the clouds, cleaning the clouds, represents this tikkun. Bechinas loshoin shel zehuris shehumal ben avoinoseyin shel shesa lavin. This is also corresponds to what the Gemara says on Yom Kippur. This strip of red wool that symbolized the washing away, the laundering of the sins of the Jews. When it turned white, it represents the fact that the sins of the Jews were completely cleansed. Umashpia lav nunis bishesa gidim, and it shines whiteness, cleanliness into all 365 gidim. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, bechol eis yihyu begodecho leveinim. At all times 365 times, time is broken into this 365 units of days of time. So bechol eis yihyu begodecho leveinim ki kol halav. Period. Now Rabbi Nizal says ki kol halav nunis nimshach min amoyach. Where does the whitener come from? Where does the whiteness come from? From the brain. Bebechina, says the pasuk, says, v'noizlim min levonoin, that the waters flow forth from Lebanon. The Zohar Kodesh says, levonoin is min libuna damoicha. Levonoin means the white matter of the brain. The brain has gray matter and white matter to it. That white matter of the brain represents the source of whitener to cleanse the sins of the person. Through purity of mind, Tikkun HaBris, which starts in the brain, the person watching his mind from Hirhurim Roem, those types of things, that represents the beginning of shooting this lavnunis, this whiteness, into all the Gidin. V'aliyedei tikun klolius ha-Gidin nisroimem ha-moichin bebechinas kenesher yor kinoi. And through a person perfecting Tikkun HaBris, which is called klolius ha-Gidin, that's also what elevates and arouses the moichin. So far we spoke about two things. We spoke about praising the tzaddik. That's one form of being ma'ira, the kiddush of bris kodesh, to be yo'ir kinoi, to arouse the moichin. And another way is the procedure of Tikkun HaBris. All aspects of Tikkun HaBris, which represent this libuna damoicha, this whitening of the brain, which shoots, which launders all the gidin. By a person perfecting the Tikkun HaBris, automatically the bris kodesh is what makes a tikkun akloli for all the other gidin, as we're going to see. We'll hold it over here for now. Baruch Hashem. Nishra Darucha. Automatically, the bris kodesh is what makes a tikkun akloli for all the other gidin, as we're going to see. We'll hold it over here for now. Baruch Hashem. Nishra Darucha.